How many vine dressers do we have out there? Go on, don't be shy now. No one? How about, we have some gardeners, yeah? Work with roses? Anyone? No one successfully works with roses? It's problematic. You know, I mean, roses, rose bushes are fairly unruly. And they grow in such a way that each little branch starts to deprive the others of needed or necessary light. And so if you leave a rose bush to its own devices, it'll grow a good number of roses, but none that you'd want to give to your wife. Right? All these kind of little, I don't know, maybe your wife likes little roses, but if she likes regular roses, you can't let the rose bush grow, do whatever it wants. You have to trim back any number of branches, perhaps even the more the better, in order that the rose buds that blossom into the ones that, you know, people like me otherwise go to the store to buy, right? These big, beautiful roses. With the rose bush, I think the interesting thing is that we, as, say, purchasers or consumers or admirers of roses, get to determine what the best kind of roses look like, how many we want, what they're to look like, and we get in and do the delicate work of trimming the branches one way or another to achieve that end. Okay, this is, I'm told anyway, the same with vine dressing. Vines grow very, very quickly. And to us, at least, looking on, perhaps out of control. I mean, we can walk by even houses in town that have vines growing up on the side of the house, and it wasn't there a couple years ago, and now it's covering everything. This is, vines grow quickly and somewhat unruly. And yet, if we want to be, if we want to cultivate vine for grapes, the production of wine, then we need to get in and clip what's not going to bear fruit, so that what will bear fruit will bear even more and more abundantly. This is the kind of imagery that Jesus is playing with here in a society that understands horticulture, and a society that understands this is how vine is tended. And there are any number of things that we can pick out about that image that are significant. I think one is that the image on the whole, there's a script, I'll say it quickly, there's an image that runs all the way back through the Old Testament of Israel being the vine that God plants. Jesus is saying, he is the vine. He is the new people of God. And to be part of the people of God, you must find your way into him, he who is the vine. Okay, I'll leave that, because that's the big scriptural one, but I leave it to the side, because we tend to prefer more practical application, I think. So we look at this image of finding our life as branches in the vine in Jesus, and we see that we need to draw our life from him. We need to abide in him. We need to remain in him. And this is one of Jesus' favorite images. We see it throughout the Gospels, of this remaining in and abiding in. And even in the letters that the apostles write to the church after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, we see this similar imagery of remaining in, the language, remaining in, abiding in Jesus. So I think it's important for us to take a crack at what remaining in Jesus looks like, what abiding in Jesus looks like. For one, we have life in the vine because we have journeyed with Jesus through death to life. In the waters of baptism, we have died our otherwise selfish and sin-sick lives, and we have risen with Jesus out of the waters of baptism to share in his life, which is life lived for God, life of love. We can give ourselves away because our life is in God and our fruitfulness is in God. So we have life in the vine because of baptism. We have a depth of new life by virtue of our continuing to die with Jesus and rise with him. So die with Jesus means that we still find ourselves wounded by our old selfish humanity. We have inclinations to sin, to be selfish, to do what only benefits us, at least seems like it at the time, to pursue what we consider to be our own flourishing. We think we know what the purpose of our lives is, or we would like to pursue our own ends, and those ends tend to be things like wealth and power and pleasure and prestige. And it's precisely at those points where we recognize that we're pursuing our own ends that we then have to die. We have to bury our old humanity in its selfishness and pride and rise with Jesus then to a new life of selflessness that no longer pursues those vain ends, but pursues instead his, the fully flourishing human life. And the fruit that we bear there is the fruit of the Spirit. Is that the ice cream man? It's perfect. If you're good, you can have, okay, so what is the fruit that we're looking for? It's not, we know the corrupt fruit of pursuing our own ends. We know where it ends. We know where it ends, trapped in ourselves, difficult to give, difficult to say, follow where Jesus leads. But if instead we pursue God's ends, if we pursue Jesus with our hearts in any number of ways, most important among them prayer, right? Prayer, our participation in the life of the church, the sacraments, right? If we participate in the life of God in that way, if we remain in him, then we will grow the fruit of love, joy, peace, and all the rest, the fruit of the Spirit. Just one more part of this image, because Once the ice cream truck gets going, there's no way to reel it back in, okay? So one more part of this image. Just how close the vine dresser has to be to the vine in order to know how which little thing to snip, which to leave, which to flourish, which to snip, okay, which to move just a little bit. Just how intimate a work that is. So we have life in Christ, and the Father is at work in us, pruning, right? Pulling back, pulling away what isn't of him, nourishing and sustaining what is. And our response to a loving Father, Father who only wants our full flourishing, is that we trust him and we obey him. We trust him and we follow him. And so when we find that prompting in our hearts, the Holy Spirit speaking to us to say, yes, Daniel, pursue that. Yes, yes, Daniel, you can do that. Even though you don't want to, you give that a try. Go and do that. Say hi to that person. Smile to that guy. Give to that person, right? Go beyond yourself, Daniel. You can do it. Do it. Don't grieve the Spirit by not doing what you're being asked to do. And the other is this, right? Daniel, don't do that. Don't do that. You know where that ends. Don't say that, even though you'd enjoy it, right? Don't brush that guy off because he's got nothing to give you. The Spirit's prompting to have us hold back. Don't go and do it anyway. Don't blow through it. Right, we pray that prayer, every prayer, that we be led and guided by God, that we have life in Christ, and that he continue to nourish and sustain his life in us. We trust him because he loves us. We have no reason not to, and we follow him no matter where he leads.